where's your citizenship, my friend? You say, well, I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I'm a citizen of the EU. No, I want to take you beyond that. Where is your eternal citizenship? Is your eternal citizenship in heaven? And if it is, beloved, how are you walking? And what are you eagerly waiting for? Because if it's in heaven, there's something that is far beyond this world. Beloved, I am excited about today's message, and I'm excited about today's message because it's going to help you take your eyes off of this world and place them on eternal values. And when you do that, when you live that way, you will live without regrets, because the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 22:12 that Jesus Christ is coming again and that his reward is with him to give to every one of us according to our deeds. And the problem today is we take our eyes off of eternity and we place them on the temporal. And when we do, then we don't have the right perspective on life. And what Paul wants us to understand in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 17 through 21 is that it is essential that you watch the way you walk, that you watch the way you walk, because your citizenship is not on this earth, but your citizenship is in heaven. And because your citizenship is in heaven, then you're waiting. You say, waiting for what? Well, let's read the text. And it's Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. And he says, brethren, I called you beloved. Many times Paul will call you beloved. But he's writing to those who are part of the body of Jesus Christ. He's talking to not nominal Christians, but he's talking to genuine Christians. And he says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. He says, watch the way people walk, because the way people walk and the way people live tells you a lot about their values. And he says, many walk, of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now he's saying many are walking, and yet all are not walking the same way. And the reason that I am warning you, and the reason that I want you to understand eternity, and the reason I want you to have eternal values rather than temporal values, is because among those that name the name of Jesus Christ are many who I have warned you about again and again, and I'm telling you now, and I'm telling you weeping, because it breaks my heart that these men, that these women are enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. And they're enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ because the cross calls every single believer to live what we call a crucified life. In other words, it's no longer you living your way, you no longer just looking at the temporality of this world and getting entangled with the affairs of this life, but it is you living life on a much higher plane, on the highest plane. And the highest plane is the plane of understanding where your citizenship is. So he goes on to say, describing these people, that their end is destruction. Now, I want you to understand that. These people who are naming the name of Jesus Christ are going to be destroyed. In other words, they are never going to taste salvation. They think they're going to heaven, but when eternity starts, they're not going to find themselves in heaven. They're going to find themselves in hell. They're going to find themselves destined for the lake of fire. You say, come on, Kay, come on. Nobody believes in hell anymore. Nobody believes in the lake of fire. Darling, or sir or beloved or whoever you are, I want you to know it does not matter what man believes. It only matters what God says, because this book is absolute, pure, unadulterated truth. And you may be listening and you may say, but I don't agree with that. That's your choice. You can agree with it or you can disagree with it, but as it does not change the validity of it. And so he says their end is destruction. He says that they, whose God is their appetite, he's describing them, whose glory is their shame. In other words, they are excited about and participating and glorying in things that are really an absolute disgrace. An absolute disgrace, because the way that they're living does not show, or it does show, where their citizenship is. But they're professing one thing with their lips, but they're living another way with their lives. So it says their glory is their shame, and they set their mind on earthly things. Now, watch the contrast that he's going to bring to us at this point. It says, and watch earth and watch heaven, because he says they set their mind on earthly things. Contrast for our citizenship. I'm the pattern. Timothy's the pattern. Watch the way we walk. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is not on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we understand that Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. We understand that Jesus Christ is going to set up his kingdom, and he is going to rule on the face of this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, understanding that, we are eagerly waiting for him, because we're not involved in earthly things. We're involved in heavenly things, because our citizenship is not here on earth. Oh, yes, we're citizens of the United States or of the EU or of Brazil or whatever country we live in. But we have a different citizenship. We have a higher citizenship. We have a higher calling. And that is that we are citizens. We are part, in another way to translate citizens, is our commonwealth, the country that we belong to, the country that we come from, the country that we represent, the kingdom that we are united with. Our commonwealth is in heaven. Now, it is a heavenly kingdom that is ruling over earth. It's the kingdom of heaven. You say it's not doing a very good job of ruling right now. Well, right now, the kingdom of heaven has allowed Satan, the prince of this world, to rule over the face of this earth. And so 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 tells us the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And yet the power of the evil one is limited by God. And it is limited for a certain amount of time. Let me show you this. I want to take you to some prophetic passages, because I want you to understand all about the citizen, your citizenship in heaven. And so our citizenship, I told you, right now Satan's rule is limited. And when we come to Revelation chapter 12, and by the way, what we do is every year we take a teaching tour to Israel. It is awesome. We take a limited group so that we can have an intimate time. We study the Word of God. The Bible is open all the time. It's not go to a site and have a short devotional and have the guide tell you everything. It's not like that at all. It is a study tour, and it is absolutely life-changing. And when we get to Megiddo, we teach the book of Revelation from chapter 4 all the way through chapter 19. And we do it in a visual way. And that's why I'm smiling, because we teach Revelation 12 in a graphic way, and nobody forgets it because of the things that we do. But anyway, in Revelation chapter 12, He says in verse 10, in verse 9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now I heard a loud voice, and it says, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren, that's Satan, has been thrown down to earth. He accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony. And the word of their testimony is, hey, I'm a citizen of heaven. Hey, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in you. And I'm not to fear you who can kill the body. Rather, I'm to fear God who can kill and cast both body and soul into hell. And it says, and they did not love their life even to death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Now watch. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Now, if you've downloaded our study guide, then you have in this lesson that we're doing, you have a diagram of what's going to happen prophetically. You have a diagram of when the citizen, our Savior comes and returns to earth and sets up his kingdom here on earth. And you can see that before he does that, 3.5 years before he does that, is when the devil is cast out of heaven, when he comes down to earth, when he knows he has only a short time and his vengeance is let loose. And then you have the conflict of the kingdoms. You have the conflict of the kingdoms of this earth, which are controlled by Satan, the devil, and you have with the conflict of heaven, and I can tell you who wins, and who wins is God. And so we are on the winning team. So this is what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that you and I are eagerly waiting for the Savior. Now watch what it says, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state, this physical body, into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even, now watch this, to subject all things to him. God has the power to subject all things to him. So, beloved, before we take this break, just let me say this. God is omnipotent, and he will bring you to your knees, either in this life when you confess Christ, or he will bring you to your knees when you acknowledge that you refuse to believe in the Son of God. We're going to talk about it more, but first we need to hear this important message. us, beloved, the anticipation of the fact that Jesus is coming again. I mean, have you become so entangled with the affairs of this life? And it's so easy, isn't it? I mean, it is constant noise in our lives. It is constant interruption. We have the cell phones. We're constantly being called. We're ringing. We're talking. We're walking, you know, and business is going on, and we're tired, and we're exhausted, and life is at such a horrendous pace that sometimes we forget, hey, this world is not my home. I don't have to live this way, caught up and entangled with the affairs of this life. Yes, I have to earn a living. Yes, I have to go to work. Yes, I have to keep a home. Yes, I have to raise my children. But what is coming? What is coming? What is going to hold me? Well, there ought to be in our walk and in our thinking during the day an eager anticipation, beloved, an eager anticipation of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming. And when Jesus Christ is coming, then the world will stop slamming, degrading, trying to silence the Christian, because that's what's happening in our society right now. That's what's happening in the world. The world, because it lies under the power of the evil one, does not want to hear a thing about Jesus Christ. They don't want us to consult the Bible. They don't want us to pray, unless it's to anyone we want to pray. You know, a friend of mine told me the other day that they went to Washington, D.C. They went to the National Cathedral. They went down into the bookstore, because they operate our bookstore here at Precept Ministries International at our headquarters in Chattanooga, Tennessee. They nearly died because there were Buddhas down there being sold in the National Cathedral. And they said, well, it doesn't matter, just so we pray. Oh, beloved, it matters, because Buddha is an idol. Buddha is a figment of a man's imagination, and it is something that has caught the imagination of the world, and the devil is happy to have it happen, because it is a false god, and then with the worship of a false god, it brings you under the power of the evil one. We have to know that there is one and only one true God, and that is the sovereign ruler of all the universe, and his son's name is Jesus Christ. He is Yeshua. He is our Savior. He is Messiah. He is the promised one, and he is coming again. Now, it says that we are to eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state. Now, he's talking about a change of this physical body. And he's going to transform the body, the physical body of our humble state, into conformity with the body of his glory. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, one of the things that you want to do, and you learn to do as you study the Bible, is to let Scripture interpret Scripture. So we want to go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And in 1 John chapter 3, this is what he says at the beginning of this chapter. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. That's why I call you beloved, because you're beloved to God, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, now listen, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. If they're not going to believe on Jesus, they certainly aren't going to accept his followers. If they aren't going to accept the fact that Jesus is God in the flesh, the Son of God, the only way to God, the way, the truth, and the life, and the fact that no one comes to the Father except by him, if they don't believe that, they're not going to accept anything that you have to say. But this is the reason that the world doesn't know us, because our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to the commonwealth of heaven, not the commonwealth of earth, wherever we live on planet earth. And so he goes on to say, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we will see him as he is. And so what he's telling us is that the body of this humble state, as Philippians 3 says, will be changed into the body of his glory. In other words, when we see him, we will be like him. And what is this hope? Well, in verse 3 it says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him. We eagerly wait for the Savior. We eagerly wait for the Savior. We have this hope fixed on him, purifies himself even as he, even as Jesus is pure. In other words, you're not going to let sin stay in your life. You're going to get rid of it. You're going to walk not like the world walks. Your God is not going to be your belly, your appetite. Your glory is not going to be your shame. Your end is not going to be destruction. Rather, you're going to walk the way Paul walked, because Paul was an imitator of Christ. So then we see in 1 John 3:3 that this body is going to be like his body. Now, what's that going to be like? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the other passage that you want to go to. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it is a wonderful, wonderful cross-reference. And this is why, beloved, with this program, Precepts for Life, we're studying the Word of God book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, so that you get the whole message, because every book has an individual message. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the resurrection chapter, which talks about this new body that's going to be changed into a body like his, this is what he says. He says in verse 50, I tell you this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And it says, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. In other words, this physical body, something has to happen to it. It has to change because it's perishable, and it can't inherit the imperishable. So what is he going to do? He says, I tell you a mystery. Psst, I got a secret for you. He says, we will not all sleep. We will not all die. But, now watch, we all whose citizenship is in heaven, we all will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, at the last trumpet, and then the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And the victory that he's talking about in Philippians chapter 3 is the victory, precious one, of you and I putting on this body of glory. And we do it by the exertion of the power that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, when we die, and we see God face to face, and then we get ready to return with the Lord to this earth, we will have an imperishable, immortal, incorruptible body. It will be a body like Jesus. And remember, after he was resurrected, he could even walk through solid material. It's a body that's going to live forever. Listen, beloved, your citizenship is in heaven. And if it is, then you need to remember you're not of this world. So don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Remember, you're a citizenship. Your citizenship is in heaven, and you are eagerly waiting for the Savior who is going to deliver you from the wrath which is to come. Look up, beloved, because your redemption draws nigh. Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International. And it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically. But I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. Well, beloved, we've come to that precept moment, that time for a precept for life. In other words, what I've learned today, how do I put it into practice? Well, first of all, you have to remember the doctrine. The doctrine, the teaching, and the teaching is this, that your citizenship is not here on earth. It is in heaven. You represent the kingdom of heaven. You represent the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. You represent God the Father, the sovereign ruler of all the universe. And because your citizenship is in heaven and not here on earth, then your precept for today is to remember that and to remember that you're not to allow the world to squeeze you and just my face just all scrunched up, pressured by the world. I'm not to allow the world to squeeze me into its mold. I am to remember that I am an eternal being. I have to remember that this body that we put so much attention on is eventually going to be changed. And I mean, you're going to have an immortal body and old things are going to pass away and all the wrinkles are going to be gone. So put your focus not on the external, but put your focus on the internal because of the eternal. Okay? Not on the external today, but on the internal. Becoming a man, a woman who thinks like God, who remembers where your citizenship is, who remembers that Jesus Christ is coming and His reward is with Him, and you want to get a full reward. And so then you focus on the internal in the light of the external. While we look, 2 Corinthians says, not at the things that are seen because they're temporal, but at the things which are not seen because they are eternal. You can persevere through any situation, through any trial, if you will remember that your Savior is coming and that there is more to life than this life. So that's your precept for today. There's more to life than this life. So lift up your eyes and look. Your redemption draws nigh. Jesus Christ is coming, and someday the whole world will know that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess this very fact. And when they do, then you will be honored as a child of God. You may be dishonored now. You may suffer now. You may deny yourself now. But there is a glorious day coming in eternity when you will be recognized as a child of God.
To find out more about Precept Ministries International, or if you're looking for a Precept Bible study class in your area, click onto our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990.